All right, tonight I want to close out the book of Philippians. We've been studying the book of Philippians for some time, and I want to close out with a great promise from the Word of God, and I want to take this in the context in which it's given. And I want to talk to you about giving. I rarely preach on giving, not because the Bible rarely speaks about it. I will assure you of that. But I want to talk to you about the importance of giving and what the Bible in this particular section of Scripture says about it, and how you can claim a promise that so often is given to people that really it never was intended to be given to. And so we're going to look at this promise. The promise is found in verse 19, and we'll work our way to that verse with just a few thoughts. But I want to really delve into verse 19. I want you to look at it with me. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we're going to look at this promise in itself. We're going to see who the promise is made to, who can claim this promise, and who really cannot claim this promise. This promise is not given to the world. I'm going to say something that may shock some of you. This promise is not even given to all saved people. It's not. Not just because you're saved, you cannot claim this promise. In the context of the Scripture in which it's given to a specific group of people. It's given to a local church, but not just any local church. It's given to a local church that has followed some criteria that was set for that church. So often we take statements from the Bible and we just kind of make them fit situations that we would like to see them fit, and then when they do not work, well, it's a great discouragement to people because they say, well, you know, that Christian told me, you know, that preacher told me that God would meet all my need because I'm saved now. Well, you know, God's not obligated to meet all your need just because you're saved. God has laid out some criteria. What is that criteria? See, God will obligate himself to some things, but really in order for him to fulfill that obligation, he set out some conditional things that he has asked us to obligate ourselves to. And so many times we'll look to God and we'll say, well, God, what about your promise? And God, in return, may ask you, what about yours? What about your promise? What about your commitment? Well, God, aren't you committed to me? Well, are you committed to me? You see. So if we're not careful, and it translates in many of our relationships, we want everything to be one way, which is coming to us. Right? Come on, we're human. And we want it all to kind of channel and funnel toward us. We want everything to happen as it comes to us. But God says, no, this thing works both ways. And I want to talk to you about that, okay? I want you to notice something in these scriptures. First of all, there's some criteria that God has said if you want to claim this promise. And so I want to show you from the Bible, okay? And so I would encourage you, now follow along in the Scripture so that you can know, because I want you to leave this building tonight, if you are not already, I want you to leave the church service tonight with a couple of things in your heart. Number one, I want you to leave with joy in your heart that we have a good children's program. And I don't think I have to say anything about that. You've experienced it. Amen? I'm thankful that we have a place where we can bring the little children and they can learn the songs, they can learn the Scripture, and they can utilize the gifts and the abilities that God has given them. I say it often as a pastor of the church, people sometimes they relegate children and say, well, you know, when they grow up, when they get 16, when they get 12, when they get 18, when they get whatever, then they'll become a part of the church. They're the church of tomorrow. Well, not here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Children here at Fellowship Baptist Church are just as much a part of the church today as I am and you are. Now, they may be the leaders of tomorrow, you see. And we're certainly mentoring and training and grooming them for that position. It takes responsibility, and you have to teach children responsibility, and when they begin to grasp that responsibility, then they can begin to fill those positions. And so it's very unwise to just say, well, you know, we're going to put this one and that one. You groom and you train and you place people in positions once they learn what it is to accept responsibility. Here, God has given us a responsibility, and this is the second thing that I want you to take home with you. I want you to go home with this. I can claim this promise. I finally now know what this promise is and who it's to, and I can claim it for myself. And so I want to put you in a position, a biblical position, so that when you leave here, you can say, you know what? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can say it with conviction because you have seen the truth of it from the Word of God. Now let's look at the three things that God says must take place before you can claim this promise. There's three things that he gives in verses 10 all the way through verse 18. And so I want you to look at them. I'm just going to name them. I preached these before, but I want to name them to you. Please write them down so you can check off the box of each one. Number one, if we're to be able to claim this promise, the Bible says we're going to have to be a people, a church that cares for the needs of others. Notice what he says in verse number 10, 11, 12, and 13. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." Now, who is Paul? Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ. You go to the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he opened up nearly every letter with that phrase, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." So what is God laying down for me as a criteria here? He's saying, Dale Freeman, do you want me to meet your need? Do you want to be able to claim that I will meet every need you have? Then you take care of my servants. I have some servants out there, Dale. And I want you to get in a position in a local church where you will give toward taking care of my servants. Do not let my servants go without. My servants are depending on my people to take care of them. And so don't you let them go without. And I will see that you don't go without. Amen. How many of you have experienced that? I've experienced for over 35 years now. You get involved of taking care of God's servants, and God will see to it that you're taken care of. Amen. Amen. The servants of God depend upon the people of God to meet the need. God will bless his people to meet the needs of his servants. It's the Bible way, brethren. The Bible way. And so here's what Paul said. Paul said, "I rejoice greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." I like that word. It's a word that speaks of a flower that has died off for the season, but now as springtime comes around, it's being revigorated, rejuvenated. It's coming back to life. Something had obviously happened in Philippi to where they had lost contact with the Apostle Paul. And he said, you know what? You didn't, just because you lost contact, you didn't give up, you didn't turn away. I was always on your heart. Your care of me was always present. So here's a criteria. Now write this down. If Fellowship Baptist Church is going to experience the blessing, the supply of God, and we are a church corporately speaking, but individually, you want to be a part of that, then you're going to have to get involved in caring for God's servants. My question to you is, are you? Do you care for God's servants? Are you given to see that God's servants don't lack the resources that they need to carry out the work and commission of God? It's important. It's important. So here, that's the first part of the criteria. Now, I want to add something to this. By taking care of God's servants, you also care about sinners. Now, how can that be? Because the Apostle Paul was reaching lost people. He was going from town to town, and he was going into the synagogues, and he was preaching, and people were being saved, and he was planting local New Testament Bible-believing churches. So when we get involved in mission endeavor, when we get involved in taking care of God's servants, that is the first step. But when you expand that out, what we are doing is we're showing that we care for sinners, because we are getting involved in helping to partner with these men and women and their families to go to the field to share the gospel. And in turn, sinners' lives are being changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we take care of God's servants, we show that we care for the sinner. And God said, you want my supply? You want my blessing? You want my promise? Then meet this criteria. And the question is this: do you as a part of the church care about the needs of others. Look at it one more time in verse 10. This is not difficult. It's very simple. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." In other words, you wanted to, but maybe there was no one there to bring the gift. Maybe there was no one there to transport the gift. Maybe you didn't know where I was at the time, but you didn't give up on the fact that you wanted to be a part of caring for God's servant and then for sinners. We'll read verse 11 and 12 just for the sake of reading that so you'll understand more about what Paul's saying. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Paul said, this is not about me getting what I want. This is about God getting what he wants. And God wants his servants to be taken care of so that they can focus on the work that he's called them to do. And so when we get involved in caring for God's servant, the missionaries, oftentimes Brother David will stand right here, Brother David Thompson, and he'll say, "We want to help this missionary family with this amount of money to help them with this care, this need," and almost unanimously every time folks say, "Amen, let's do it." You know what? That's why Fellowship Baptist Church has every need met. Listen to me now. I'm telling you the secret of having your need met, the supply, because we understand the importance that God has placed on the local assembly to care to meet the need of his servants. And in turn, as the servant's need is met, then they can focus on the work that God gave them, and sinners' lives are changed. And ultimately, as I mentioned this morning, that is the business of God, soul business. He's in the business of changing the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. And he wants us to be co-laborers together with him in that business. And so as we are in this business, let's stay in it. Let's stay in this business. Now, Fellowship Baptist Church has some laid out plans, a vision that God has given its leadership. It begins with me as the pastor. And I shared it with our leaders at our leadership conference, and I'll share it with the church. And I would not say this in any way flippantly. I say it seriously. It involves a lot of money. Oh, well, preacher, we don't have a lot of money. No, but our Father does. And we're not going to get shook up about a dollar bill. We're not going to chase money in order to lose our focus in our vision. We're going to stay on cue. We're going to stay focused on what God wants, and we're going to claim this promise. How do you get God's supply? You take care of his servants, and you take care to see that the needs of sinners are met by giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. In essence, you give in order to get. We've experienced it here. Brother Benny's sitting down there. Some of you don't know this, and I'm just going to give this briefly. I stand before you as the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church today to announce to those of you who may not know this. Some are visiting, some are guests, some are new here. Fellowship Baptist Church is debt-free. We're debt-free. When I became the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, we were, what was it, Brother Benny? Was it $400,000? About $400,000 in debt. Near about $500,000. Okay, close. Not quite, but close. And I mean, the offerings were going this way. So we began to pray and to meet and said, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to just quit everything. No, we're just going to take some missionaries on. We're not going to park the buses. We may have to change up the way we do things. We had a missions conference here, and I forgot what year it was. And you know who were the missionaries? I think Brother David head up a field, Brother John. We had two or three men that represented fields because that's where we were in our resources. All right? We lacked opportunity, but we did not give up on the goal. We did not lose our vision. We did not lose our identity. The purpose of the church is to reach man, to get the gospel out. We did not lose that. You know what God did? He paid everything off for us. You say, well, preacher, how did that happen? I don't know how it happened. I can't put that on paper. Hey, man, you can't put this kind of stuff on paper. But God's already put it on paper in his word, and all we need to do is claim it. God said, I tell you what you do. You take care of my servants. When I send those missionaries through your way, if they're worthy of support, if they've got the call of God on their life, if you sense that it's meant for you to partner with them, partner with them, and I'll meet your need. When they have a need, you meet their need, and I'll meet your need. That's what God's saying here, brethren. That's what God's saying. We've experienced it. Now, that's church-wide. Church-wide. We burnt the mortgage here. We burnt the mortgage. So, well, we might get another one. We might. We might. There's no guarantees. We don't know what God's going to do. But I'll tell you this. God's going to meet our need regardless of what happens. Whatever the need is, God's going to meet it. If we'll just stay in tune and stay right here in this book, God will meet the need. So that's the first thing. Second thing, look at what he said in verse 14 through 16. You have to be committed to the work of God. Look at verse 14 through 16. He said, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. You have to stay committed to the work of God. And I mentioned that. All right? He said, you communicated. Though you lacked opportunity back in verse number 10, he said, notwithstanding, verse 14, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. I had a need. And though there was a time where you lacked opportunity, you didn't give up. You stuck with it. Look at verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I parted from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Though that some things did not avail themselves and there was some opportunity lacking, the church at Philippi didn't forget what their purpose was. And brethren, God help us not to forget what the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church is. It's to get the gospel of Jesus Christ in our Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Now, in short order here, we're going to begin some building right here on this property. We're looking at some property across the road. We don't know what God's will is in all of this, but we have a vision, we have a plan. And when I began to look at the astronomical cost of some of these things, in my flesh, it can get kind of shaky. But I always come back to this. God's made me a promise. And I have placed my soul in the hands of this God, and so I'm going to place my life in His hands as well. And I'm going to believe God's word, and I'm going to call upon you to do that too. So number one, now, the first thing we do is we be a church that cares for the needs of God's servants and sinners. Number two, we are to be committed to the work of God. We're to be committed to the work of God. And then number three, we're to realize that there's some credit coming our way. Look, if you would, in verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, here's three things that God says that is criteria that must be met. Number one, you got to care about the needs of others, God's servants, sinners. Number two, you got to be committed to the work of God. All right? And then number three, you've got to realize that as you give, you say, give? Yeah, look again now at the latter part of verse number, latter part of verse 15. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Now I'm going to make a statement here, and I want you to listen very carefully. You shouldn't give to missions if you're not tithing. You shouldn't give to missions. I hear people say, well, you know, I'm going to give my missions. Well, are you tithing? See, God's not going to bless you if you're robbing Him. Well, I'm going to give to missions, and then God will bless me. No, God's going to curse you if you're stealing His tithe. And that's what it is. When you don't give the tithe, you're robbing God. Now, just so I can be clear tonight, and I don't preach on giving a lot, but I think it's time to do it tonight. The tithe is a tenth. A tenth of $1,000 is not $20. God doesn't bless the tip. He blesses the tithe. So God expects you to know a little math. And I'm not being smart aleck here. So don't think, well, I'll just put a little money in the plate and God's going to bless me. God doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, I want you to hold your place here and turn to Malachi chapter 3 just for a moment. In the book of Malachi, that's the last book of the Old Testament. And in the book of Malachi, the Bible says in chapter 3 something about the tithe. Now, tithing is something that every Christian should practice. Every Christian should practice. Now, there's some things that God would call upon maybe me specifically to get involved in, but may not call upon this one or that one, but just some. God would call on some maybe to get involved in this and some to get involved in that. And God has different gifts and abilities that He gives people. But then there's some things that God says, I want all of my children, I want every Christian to get involved in this. Tithing's one of those things. If you're saved, you need to be given 10% of not your net, of your gross, the first fruits. Proverbs 3, the first fruits of your increase, all right? Honor the Lord, Proverbs 3:9, with the first fruit of your increase. And that's not the net, that's the gross. So, well, I'm gonna pay Uncle Sam, then I'm gonna pay God. No, you've got it backwards. You don't pay Uncle Sam, nothing comes before God. Amen. By the way, you're not paying anyway, you're giving. You're just simply giving back a portion of that God has so graciously given you. I want to make this very clear, so listen to me. For years, I had my thinking messed up. And I thought, well, the tenth belongs to the Lord. That must be mean the 90% belongs to me. Thank God for the day that God helped me get it settled in my heart. 100% of it belongs to God. 100% of it belongs to God. God's just commanded that 10% go back into His work. But God's going to hold me accountable, not only that I give that 10%, but God's going to hold us accountable what we do with that 90%. So don't think you can squander and just be a spendthrift and be irresponsible now with your money. That's poor stewardship. And God's not going to bless that. And if we don't give, here's what Malachi said in Malachi 3 in verse number 8. Look at it. Will a man rob God? Well, I'm here to tell you, I've been pastoring for 35 years. The answer to that question is a resounding yes. I've met many God robbers in my day, okay? And they're always wondering why they're not blessed and why they have no peace and why they have no joy. Right here's the answer. I want you to watch it. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? God said in tithes and offerings. And I want you to watch what He said there. In tithes and offerings. See, God just doesn't want you to give the tenth. God wants you to give beyond the tenth and give grace giving. Amen. God wants every one of His people, every one of His children to be involved in the offerings too. So I'll give the tithe, but I'm not going to give the offering. Well, now, I'm telling you what the Bible says right here. If you don't give the offering, God said you've robbed me. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? It's what the Bible says. It's clear. So look, if you would, in verse number 9. Ye are cursed with a curse. Why, God? Because you've robbed me. Even this whole nation. He said, you've robbed me. And brethren, you don't want to bring a curse on your life. You want the blessing of God. I'm going to give you something that I think is wonderful. Look at verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So, well, I give my tithe to a radio preacher. Well, you're doing it wrong. Well, I give mine to a ministry down the street. They're taking care of the homeless people. Well, if you want to give money to them, you give money, but don't you give your tithe to them. The tithe goes through the local church. Hey, this is the Bible, brethren. It's what the Word of God says. Bring ye, look at what it says, all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may that there may be meat in mine house. Now, it takes money to operate God's Word. It takes money. You say, well, I thought the preacher paid the light bill. No, the preacher, I pay my light bill. But we pay this light bill. God does really, but He uses us to do it, right? The gas for the buses. Listen, we could go on and on. He said, bring it into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Now watch this. Look at verse 10 now. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. Now it's up to you to believe that or not. My question to you tonight is, do you believe that? I believe it. Now, not because I've experienced it, though I have. I believe it because God said it. Not only can God bless you, but He can prevent you from receiving the curse. Look at what the scripture says in verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God will only give to you, but God will help you save in some areas so that you can have more. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, I've had it happen where God just supplied money, and I didn't know where it came from. I mean, I've gotten checks from sources that I didn't know. I didn't know I had it coming just at the time. Matter of fact, I had a man come to me last week, and he said, you know, he said, run a little tight. Might have been 2 weeks ago. Run a little tight. I mean, 2 days later, should have called the man and told him, at the church, you know, as far as our budget. And 2 days later now, I had a person call me and say, hey, remember that estate? It's settled, and we've got a check for $5,000 that we need to bring to the church. That's $5,000. We didn't know that was coming. Hey, listen. God will meet every need we have if we'll just stay focused and do what God says to do. God will meet every need you have. But God's not going to bless your life now if you're robbing God of his time. Don't rob God. So, well, I'm going through hard times. Well, the church went through hard times. You know how we got out of them? We gave ourselves out of them. You give yourself out of hard times. Give, and it shall be given to you. Now, do you believe that? You either do or you don't. All right? So he said in verse number 11, look at it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So God said, I'll give, and then he said, I'll prevent from it being taken. Either way, you're going to have more in the coffers if you obey my voice. Now we go back to Philippians, and I want to give you the promise, and we'll close. So here's the three things. Number one, you got to take care, and you got to meet the needs of God's servants and sinners. Number two, all right, got to be committed to God's work. Got to be committed to God's work. So some of these folks that come to church on a hit and a miss, I wonder, how are they getting their tithe here? I'm not being mean, I'm just wondering. How's the tithe getting into the storehouse? See, we've gotten to a place where we take these kind of things lightly. Let me tell you something. God doesn't take one single promise or one single commandment in his word lightly. We may take them lightly. God doesn't take them lightly. And so this is something that we really need to get ironed out. And I want to say this to the Fellowship Baptist Church family. I believe that predominantly speaking, I'm speaking to a group of people that understand the tithe and that practice the tithe, that understand grace giving and understand grace giving. But I'm saying this as a warning. Don't let the enemy get you sidetracked. Because he's always, isn't he? Always in your ear. Always in your ear. Telling you what you could and should be doing with that tithe or with that faith promise offering. Always trying to tell you what else you could do. You stick with God and God will bless you now. So let's look at it carefully. Verse number 19. Now he said, number one, for that church or individual that cares for the needs of my servants and the sinners of the world. Number two, that is committed to the work of God. And then number three, that understands that this is being credited back to him. Verse 17 is just very important, brethren. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Paul said, it's not about me getting your money. It's about you allowing God to give through you for the work of the ministry to go on around the world so that fruit can abound to your account. You're laying up treasures in heaven. I get excited when Brother David stands up. He done it tonight. Three people, did you notice? Three people in South Africa got saved. One lady right before she died and went to heaven. Right before she died with cancer. Did you pay? Listen, when these men are up here sharing these missionary letters, you ought to pay very close attention. I'm balancing my book. I'm seeing what's going up into heaven when he's up here reading these letters. Amen. There's three more. Right? Did you see that, church? We got some more fruit that abounded to our account tonight. We got to read it. Brother David read about it. Souls getting saved. That's sending treasures ahead, you see. That's fruit that abounds to our account. All right. Number one, who's going to meet our need? But my God. I want you to look at those first three words at verse 19. God's going to do it. You say, can God meet the need? God can. God can meet the need. He owns the cattle of a thousand hill. You ever get to doubting what God can do? I do this sometimes. I do. I used to do it more regularly, and I probably should do it more. I go out on a starry night, and I've probably told you this. I love to do this. Sometimes, you know, listen, I'm flesh and blood like you, and I get a little discouraged, and I get a little doubtful, and what I do, I just go outside, and I look up, and I say, yep, God's got this taken care of.
Amen.
I look at the myriad of stars and I just say, oh yeah, God's got this well in hand. Amen. It gives me a peace. I mean, it. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't take a whole lot. Well, to me, that's just a sign. The hand that flung all that into space is the hand that's going to provide for me. But my God, is it your God? Then you can claim this if you're meeting that criteria. Number two, I want you to underline this next word, shall. You see it? Shall, not might. See, some folks, they go through life, well, I hope God will meet my need. I don't go through life that way. I quit going through life that way. I'm not saying I don't have my lapses now. But those who know me well know, Pastor Dale, he doesn't worry a whole lot. My wife will tell you, she's never seen me sitting around biting my fingernails. I'm not a worrier. And you say, well, you're boasting. I am. And my God has met every need I've ever had. Sometimes, I mean, it's come right down to the last minute, you know, and God's tested my faith. But God's just met all my needs, brethren. God's met every need of Fellowship Baptist Church, and he'll meet all of your needs individually, too, if you'll meet this criteria. But my God shall, not maybe, not he'll think about it. Well, God's going to think about meeting your need. God, maybe, he might meet your need. No, God shall. That's affirmative, amen? God shall. My God shall. God's going to do it. If you'll do it, God will do it. Right? That's what he's saying. But my God shall supply. Look at that next word. All. But if God will just do some of it. No. Well, if we could just get God to do most of it. No. God said right here, I'm going to do all of it. I'm going to supply all of it. Amen. All of it, brethren. All of it. Whatever the need is, if we will meet. Listen, Paul is essentially saying here, if you'll meet some of my need, God will meet all of yours. That's what he's essentially saying. And so when we get involved in this mission endeavor that is, it's scriptural. This is not something that some man came up with or some denomination. It's biblical. It's biblical. God said, I want you to get involved in a global operation. I want you to become a part in reaching the souls around the world. And he said, if you will get involved in caring for my servants that I am calling out, handpicking them, please don't buy into this. Well, so-and-so took up preaching. You might take up bricklaying. And you may take up electrical work and some other form of work, computer work, but you don't take up preaching. God calls preachers. God puts his hand on them, and he calls them to ministry. And then he'll lay it on the hearts of his people in a local assembly and say, take that man on. Thrust him out into the field that I've called him to, that he could concentrate on preaching the gospel, that souls might be saved. That's what it's about. Lives are changed, and we get to be a part of that. A global enterprise. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And God said, I'll supply all of your need. Now, if you're not tithing, you can't claim that. I'm not going to say that God's not going to love you. That's not what we're talking about tonight. God loves you whether you tithe or not. But I'm talking about tonight getting your need met. I'm talking about tonight being a part of something that's going to fill you with joy, being a part of something that's going to send treasures ahead. In heaven, storing up those treasures. Verse 19, but my God, that's the source, the surety, shall. That's a surety. The scope, supply all. You know, when you begin to look at the plan that God's laid on my heart as the pastor, and I shared it with the assistant pastors and even with our leadership, and I'm going to share it with the church, you look and you say, preacher, that could run into like many millions of dollars. Yeah, I know. Very much aware of that. But my God has a lot of riches and glory. And this is how I want to close. I want you to notice something. This assures me that God's never going to run out. Okay? He said, but my God shall supply all your need according, not out of, according to. Okay? Now, what does God own? everything. Everything. All right? Now, if God was supplying out of, then the resources could shrink. Right? You got $100, you take 10 away, your resources just shrink. That's economics 101, amen? I mean, but God's not giving out of. Notice what the scripture said. God's not giving out of his riches and glory. He's giving according to his riches and glory, which means that he's well and then some able to meet and supply all of your need. All right? So, I want you to be blessed. And I'm not some seed sowing preacher up here trying to get you to sow a seed tonight. Not going to give you my home address and tell you to send me $50 and I'll send you a prayer cloth and you'll just reap this and that. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm talking about New Testament Christianity and New Testament giving. Giving to God's work. Trusting the Lord to meet all of your need as you get involved in his work of meeting the greatest need that a man has, and that is the forgiveness of his sin through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's read that promise together and then we'll close. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. There it is. There it is. What a great promise. But there's a profile to be met before the promise can be claimed. As you stand to your feet, I want to ask you, are you meeting that profile? Do you care for God's servants? Don't be one of those that says, well, you know, we just keep giving to missions. We just keep giving to missions. As long as I'm the pastor, we're going to keep giving to missions. And keep giving. It's God's way, brethren. Now, I'll tell you something that I'm very proud of. And it has very little to do with me other than I'm the pastor of the church. We have a man that is a great missions director. And I'm not saying this. It's the way I feel in my heart. This is not Pat David Thompson on the back and that. It's just the way it is. He runs a tight ship. The missions committee is good committee. We hold our missionaries accountable. We've got, listen, the more we have, the harder it's going to be to hold accountable. And we have work to do. And there will always be work to do. Because when you get involved in things like this, there's just so many things that moving parts that you have to keep up with and that you have to constantly reel back in order to hold things and people accountable. But by the grace of God, we're going to continue to do it. To ensure that the mission dollars that are given are used adequately and appropriately. So, number one, are you caring? Are you caring for the servants and the sinners? Number two, are you committed to the work? Do you give? Are you tithing? That's where it starts. If you're not tithing, you listen, don't rob God now. Don't be a God robber. God will curse your life. And I'm very serious when I say this. I don't want that to happen to you. And you don't want it to happen either. Start tithing. And then start giving to missions. Give your tithe and your offering. Your tithe first and your offering. That's the biblical way God has laid it out. And then number three, understand the concept that God has given. You give, we give, and then God is going to credit some of what the fruit that is from that is brought about by our giving to our account. All right? Understand that. That's God's way. And then you can say, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads together.